And may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Often this time of year, the story that Bracken read, particularly the account in Luke chapter 1, has always just amazed me, ministered to me. There's always been an expansion over the years that I've been here. I've preached from that place dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And yet there's always something new when I think about the nativity. When you look at the Christmas crash, you just see all the events. And so today is a word connected to that, though it's not going to sound much like a Christmassy word, but it could be a Christmas present to some of you. And because I see, what I get more and more convinced of, or am more and more blown away by, is the fact that the Lord could have accomplished redemption. He could have just, it could have happened. Jesus could have just been born at 33, or showed up at 33, live for a couple of days, be sinless, and go die on the cross. That would have been sufficient. But it was important to the Lord that Christ was born vulnerable as a baby to poor parents who he was totally dependent on. He was born under the cloud of a scandal because nobody believed that she had gotten pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Who would believe something like that? And that they had to run, flee for their life, live homeless, had to learn a different language the parents did in Egypt, and then he was constantly being sought by the king. I mean, he was alive for just born, and he tried to have him killed. And it's just a crazy way to live. And why would Christ, I mean, he could, like I mentioned the other day, couldn't change his diaper, couldn't feed himself, couldn't keep himself warm, couldn't do anything. And why would God do that? Why would he go through all that? All the little details of that. And it was all about redemption. It was all for us. It was all so that he could identify with our humanity, and we could know that he identified with our humanity, and that we could have experience in healing because of his identity with our humanity and the situations and things that we've gone through that are familiar. And that to know that Jesus is not ashamed to identify with, to belong to, for to have those belong to him who were poor and homeless and had a single parent after a season's life, being born in a feeding trough and wrapped up in rags that cleaned the barn with. It was just a crazy God, the length that he went to make us feel comfortable in our own brokenness, that he could love us and even clothe himself with us, is just remarkable. The nativity is just a stunning thing, just as stunning as the cross and the resurrection, all part of God's redemptive purposes. But here's the one I was thinking about the other day. There's a really powerful one that flows out of what happened, what God chose to do in the nativity. And again, that he could have done it somehow. He could have had Joseph off on a vacation, marry somewhere, and then they get married, and something could have happened without them being led into a situation where she's accused of being immoral. And live with that all of her life, where Jesus had to live with that all of his life too, that his mother was immoral. But one of the things I'm convinced of, the Lord did that in terms of identifying with our journey in this fallen world, is that he wasn't ashamed. He was letting us know he's not ashamed to be connected to someone who has scandals in their life or scandals in their history. That's why we wear his scars, or eternal scars. He loves scarred people. And so he's not afraid to identify with people who have scandals that are in their life, either their fault or somebody else's fault, but they lived under the cloud of scandal. And one of the things that flows out of that, because I watched this happen a lot, having done this now for a long time, many decades actually now, is how many people struggle with their own personal identity because of the way other people think about them. I mean, there is an element of truth that we find our identity outside of ourselves, at least at some level. And it's really easy if somebody thinks something about you that's not positive, they believe something about you, they believe they've seen something about you, and they believe they have a clear picture about you or something in your past. And so you know when you're around them, when you think about them, what they think about you. And it's really significant to come under, that you come under great warfare in thinking, well, you must be that way. There's something about you that's not right. Or these people, even significant people in life, wouldn't feel that way or think that way about you. Sort of that critical spirit thing. And I believe that one of the things that comes out of the nativity and the scandal that the Lord allowed is the Lord, the Father, knew exactly what went on. He's the only one who could see clearly, and he's the only one who understood completely what happened. And so Jesus, as the Son of Man, lived, though knowing all the voices and all the conversations and all the conclusions, he knew what the Father knew about him. And he knew what the Father thought about him. He knew how the Father felt about him. And he knew what the Father saw in him. And that was enough for Christ. You see, often we think somehow God even must think about us the way we know some other people think about us. Because they've been talking to him about us, and surely they've been able to influence his attitude, his feelings towards us. Aren't you glad that can't happen? David did some pretty horrible things. That's not untrue. But God knew some things about his heart that nobody else knew. And that's why David believed, even after his failure, when he had truly repented, that the Lord his God delighted in him. That's how his whole life was restored. I was thinking about Paul. This is what Paul says. You know, Paul was a hard case. I don't think I'd want to work for Paul. He was not very easy to get along with. I think he was really type A, choleric, goal-oriented, could be kind of nasty guy. I mean, if you can't get along with Barnabas, you understand what I'm saying? You got trouble. This is verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 4. But to me, it is a very small thing. Oh yeah, by the way, Paul had a history of doing some pretty horrible things, right? Dragging people out of their homes, having Christians murdered by the dozens, maybe by the hundreds. But to me, it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. I don't even afford myself the privilege of introspection. I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted either. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's heart. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. That's a powerful scripture. And which the Nativity says to us. See, one of the things about introspection, it's like a centipede. Those of you who've been around long enough heard me tell the story, trying to figure out which leg goes first. And what happens, he just stays frozen. He can't go anywhere. Introspection just freezes you. And whether people think they know what happened in your life, or they saw what happened in their life, and therefore they believe they saw everything clearly, that's possible that everything they saw was false, or possible everything they think is not true. But it may be some true. Maybe they did see something. Or maybe they did think something or know something, but they don't know everything. We see through a glass darkly. And so even if you really blew it, even if you really messed up, it's possible that you didn't at all, but people interpret it through their own brokenness. And then they get with each other. You know how Christians do? All the sons of encouragement get with each other. But whatever happened, if you've been truly repentant, then what God sees is a clean heart. What God sees is a repentant heart. And so you cannot afford to walk around finding your identity or saying who you are based on what you think they're saying who you are. All that matters is, does God know? Now that may be a difficulty, but it's a really good pressure to help you forge your identity in him. I'm sure David lived with stuff a long time. All those days of his life until he was 70 when he died. But God said he was a man after his own heart. When God chose him, he said, I see his heart. That matters to God. And so all that really matters is what you know that he knows and what he sees and how he feels about you. Now, I'm not inviting people into phoniness and pretending like things are good. I'm talking about real. You know whether you've repented or not. You know if you're still dealing with that issue. You know what he knows. And so so you can't take what other people think and then start getting introspective again. All that matters is what he thinks. Because in the end, he's going to judge the motives of your heart. Oh, by the way, the motives of their heart too. Why would they think and feel and be so sure that they know and they see so clearly? Right? That's one of the great lessons in the Nativity. A lot of people thought a lot of things about Jesus and about Mary. But all that's important to Jesus is what his father thought about him. Because his father was the only one who knew the whole truth. And that's why Christ wasn't bent towards men. He could speak the truth in love. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.